Roger Law is possibly best known as co-creator of the legendary satirical television series Spitting Image, which ran over 18 series from 1984 to 1996. These days he spends his time crafting beautiful ceramic pots based on his travels in Australia and nearer to home in Norfolk. A current exhibition at the Sainsbury Centre in Norwich brings together the extraordinary highlights of his career, spanning four decades. The exhibition is split into four sections. The newspaper and magazine office looks at his early career in the Sunday Times art department. The studio workshop explores his time in Cambridge and his collaboration with Peter Fluck, with whom he created Spitting Image. The third section is the Caricature Factory, which looks at the rise of the TV programme which transformed key politicians of the day into caricatures. And the final section, Jing Zhen, explores how Roger turned his skills into porcelain production.
Hello, I'm Leslie, and I'm at the home of Roger Law, whose current exhibition at the Sainsbury Centre spans four decades of artistic talent, ranging from illustrations to ceramics. Roger, good morning.
Good morning.
You're probably better known for being a co-creator of Spitting Image. Could you tell me the path which led from TV satire to creative ceramics, please?
Well, I worked with a guy called Peter Fluck, and he and I made the puppets for Spitting Image because we did three-dimensional caricatures, which was quite laborious, but they were done for print. And that was a natural progression. We didn't have any trouble getting backing for Spitting Image because people could look at the 3D caricatures and it took no great leap of imagination to imagine them becoming puppets. They were also life-size, which is a little excessive to do for a newspaper or a magazine, but they actually had budgets that just about worked out. I mean, we didn't get very rich, but we thoroughly enjoyed it. But we always made ceramics. We did. We made the Thatcher teapot, which is on display at the Sainsbury Centre. We did the Ronald Reagan coffee pot. He visited Cambridge, where we had a studio at that time, and he bought three Ronald Reagan coffee pots. His aides came round, and unfortunately we lost the letter, but we had a very kind letter from Ronnie himself, and I don't think he ever realised that the pot was meant to be funny. So he went off quite happily. We enjoyed making the ceramics because they were sort of marginally more permanent than sticking them in a newspaper that became fish and chips the following week. And assuming you didn't drop it. I mean, I've still got the royal egg cups we made the Duke and the Queen. When you put the egg in the top of the egg cup and took the top off for your boiled egg, it made a crown. So, we always made ceramics of one form or another.
Okay. What's your inspiration when planning a new piece of work?
It can be a lot of things. I mean, I've done a lot of work on wetlands that fascinate me because I was born in the Fens and I was there till I was about 14 or 15 before I went to arts, and I knew a lot about them. There wasn't a lot to do in the Fens in those days. I don't think there is now. So I was out with a dog over the Fens and catching eels and all that stuff, and pike was always good to catch. So there's, you know, and you come back to it as you get older. And so when I was living in Australia, after Spitting Image, I went to Australia, and I discovered that Australia, far from being a flat red land, it has quite a lot of wetlands. But it's like North Norfolk with knobs on. I mean, there are 14 lots of sand dunes before you actually get to the sea. Everything's on a huge scale, but not dissimilar. I did lots of drawings of royal spoonbills. We have them here in North Norfolk. So are these similarities, except in Australia, the wetlands have alligators, and it's in Technicolor. Because look at today, that's quite a common Norfolk day. And you simply don't get grey days in the top end of Australia.
No, the weather is always better. Could you outline the process from creative idea to finished item, please?
Well, most recently, I got kickstarted. I go to Fakenham Market every Thursday. Again, this is sort of, I'm going, retreating back into my childhood. I used to send rabbits to market when I was a kid, to Ely Market. So I kind of enjoy going every Thursday, and they have an auction house and quite a lot of bric-a-brac and stuff, and lots of veg, as you could imagine. And so I go every Thursday, and I noticed as you go into Fakenham, on the right-hand side, there's a whole load of wasteland which is full of chickens. And I think, well, people always kept chickens in the countryside, but I think people got fed up with it or thought they were too grand for chicken chooks in the backyard, took them up to this wasteland and let them go. And lots of them were from the fancy exhibition chickens, and they let them go, and they've all interbred. And the ones that have survived managed to elude the fox. They seem to survive. But they're in marvellous nick. I mean, you've never seen chickens in such good fettle. So I took a sketchbook up there and started drawing these chooks. And those sketchbooks ended up with me in China, where I make the pots. So, you know, they get drawn in Fakenham and worked up in Wells Next to Sea, put in a book, taken to Xingdezhen, where they make the porcelain in China, and turned into decoration for plates.
For you, is there any one piece of work that has special significance in your exhibition at the Sainsbury Centre? And if so, why is that?
Well, artists are really boring because they're only really interested in whatever it is that's new. And, yeah, I like doing what I do, but recently, I took some of the drawings that I'd made in the tropics at the top end of Australia. There's lots of lotus and royal spoonbills. And I selected what I considered to be the best one. And I went to work with a studio that make tapestry. And we made a tapestry that was about 2.5 meters by 1.5 meters. And it's a watercolor. And I had no idea, because I always associate tapestries with being sort of ornate and rather sort of worn out on walls. This is looks very light and airy. It's very, I think, quite life-enhancing to have on the wall. And that's at the Sainsbury Centre. And I'm not quite sure where that's going to go, but it was very exciting to see that. Actually, the tapestry is probably better than the original watercolour.
Right, back to Spitting Image. Who would you most like to feature in an episode today, apart from Donald Trump? I've got to slip that one in.
Well, there's quite a lot of people around that you could do. But I'm in two minds about Spitting Image because I wouldn't not have done it because, A, it was the lucky break most artists never are fortunate enough to have. You know, we made a bit of money for the first time and we could do things that you hadn't dreamt of. Like we published our own books. We did Spitting Image books and we'd sell 300,000 at a time. And where there was no censorship, we decided what we'd censor and what we wouldn't. So in many ways, it was fantastic. But it took, I would imagine, 20 people in a workshop to produce the body of work that you see at the Sainsbury Centre. And people go to the Sainsbury Centre and they say, oh, look at these caricatures, these drawings are fantastic. Are they all yours? Well, of course they're not all mine. We did 5,000 puppets. I mean, I feel exhausted telling you about it. But those drawings have an immediacy because we do the drawing on the Monday, just as full face and a profile. And that drawing would be finished at the latest Tuesday morning, but usually in the course of the Monday. If it was a good caricature, that would save you lots of money, because the puppets, even in the 80s, cost about $3,500 to make. So to get it right on the drawing was a great labour saving. And I still work that way. I mean, if we did Spitting Image again, the drawings would be the most important thing before you start the puppet. What was the most difficult thing to make work was the writing. And a lot of good people work for it. Harry Enfield used to do voices for it. Ben Elton worked on the pilot. I mean, it's like a roll call of middle-aged comedians and scriptwriters, you know. It was great fun, but you know something? There's been some talk about redoing Spitting Image for America, for NBC. And we actually made a Trump puppet that's on view there. It's not ugly enough. It's not disgusting enough. But we did our best. I think if we actually went ahead and did a show for America, we'd actually do it again. I'm quite reluctant because I'm basically too old. I mean, you need a lot of energy and probably a lot of illicit drugs to work 80 hours a week, you know. But I've recovered from all of that, and I'm not really keen to get back to it. But it might be fun to do it. There's always talent to set up a workshop and let the young Turks have a go at it.
Roger, thank you so much for your time today. It's been an absolute pleasure to meet you. Thank you very much.
It's been most enjoyable. Thank you.
Leslie was speaking to Roger Law. From Satire to Ceramics runs at the Sainsbury Centre for Visual Arts in Norwich until April the 3rd. For more information, please visit rogerlawceramics.com or scva.ac.uk. And by the way, Leslie did get an answer for the person Roger would like to feature in a modern-day episode of Spitting Image, but it was off the record.